The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I had called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's service.
Good morning. I hope you were found on the nice side of the list and not the naughty side of the list this Christmas. Come on up. And visitors, we're glad to have you too. Whoever wants to come on up, come on up. And let's talk a little bit about the Christmas story. Matter of fact, if we have to sit on the floor, we'll sit on the floor. That's great when we have that problem, isn't it? Wonderful. Good morning. I got a question for you to start with. What is your favorite part of the Christmas story? What?
I haven't watched the movie.
Oh, I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about our Christmas story. That Christmas story that we have the Advent candles lit for. What's your favorite part? Is there a favorite part? Or is all of it? All of it? Okay. All of it works. That goes for me. You know what's neat about stories? Is you get told over and over and over again. For example, right here, I have three of my favorite books. Okay? This one is called The Choo-Choo Train, and as you can see, it's been told a little bit. Okay? Over and over again. And here's one that you may even know. You know who that is? You know who Curious George. That's right. That's one of my favorite stories. And guess what? What's that one? The Christmas story. So that's all in there. That's all the Christmas story that's in there. And there's a couple of parts of the Christmas story that are my favorite. And there's one at the very end of it with the shepherds that I like. And we kind of overlook it a little bit, but I like it. It says, after the shepherds leave the manger, they go out glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Now, if you were one of those shepherds, and you had seen baby Jesus, and you'd had this wonderful experience with all the angels telling you where to find him, what would you do? Would you just walk back out into the fields and sit there? No, what would you do? If you're going to go out, what are you going to do? Are you just going to keep it to yourself? You're probably going to spread the word. And that's how the story started, by people telling each other. But sometimes those stories don't necessarily turn out to be so happy. And today in our gospel lesson, unfortunately, there's a sad part. Because King Herod is jealous. He doesn't want anybody else to be king. And he's heard that this baby Jesus is being born is a king. And so he does something about it that's very, very sad. He doesn't want any of the babies or any of the boys that were born in that time period to be alive. But why do we talk about the sad parts of the story too? Because in those sad parts of the story, we are still able to see how God is with us. Because an angel, again, another angel, comes to Joseph and says, take baby Jesus away from here, keep him safe. And he does. Because God has a plan for us to help us. He wants to keep baby Jesus safe so that Jesus can grow up and teach us about God's love and also allow us to have a chance to go to heaven with him because he comes back from the dead. But we have to tell those stories. We have to keep going because look what our psalm says today. Listen to this. If you didn't hear it, it says, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Studied by all who delight in them. That's why we have this place. We come together, we hear God's word here, and we share God's love with each other. And then listen to this. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. Means those words are there for us, and they're with us forever. If we just continue to tell the stories and listen to them and learn from them, and hear how God works in our lives. Isn't that fantastic? That's the best Christmas gift, I think, too. So let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful Christmas gift of your Son, Jesus, for all of us. Our world needs to hear his message of peace, hope, and love, and we thank you for that. And also, dear Lord, when the sad things happen in our life, help us remember the story that you are with baby Jesus even when his life was threatened. Help us to remember that you're with us even in the sad parts of our story, and you're there to help us and love us. Amen. Have a wonderful day and a good New Year's, believe it or not. That's coming.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This scripture passage that was read from Matthew's gospel is probably one of the most tragic passages in the New Testament because it is the story of the slaughter of innocents. So these innocent children who had no say in the matter, had done nothing wrong, and yet they are the victims of cruelty. But there's also much more to this scripture passage. It's a bit complicated. There's a lot of things that are going on here in Matthew's gospel. This is early in Matthew's gospel, and he's trying to establish who this Christ child is, who this Jesus is. And so in our reading today, if you noticed, we had three different prophecies. And one of the reasons I think that Matthew writes this story is to show the fulfilling of the prophecies. These prophecies happened hundreds of years before, centuries before the time when Christ was born. We see one of the prophecies here starting in verse 15, and it said, this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And so this story then also explains why Jesus was in Egypt, why Jesus would be down that way, why God would call somebody out of Egypt, because there were not a whole lot of Hebrew people left in Egypt anymore. And so that fulfills that prophecy. There's another prophecy in verse 17. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Ramah was the area. Ramah was a city, but it was also within the territory of Judah, which is also the territory of Bethlehem. That tribe of Judah, that was their territory that was designated for them. And so why? So this prophecy was also fulfilled. All the loud crying, weeping. I can't imagine the uproar within Bethlehem when all those children were killed. And then third prophecy here. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. And that one comes from Judges and also another time in Isaiah. So hundreds of years before. Now, this whole prophecy of Nazareth, again, I don't know why Joseph started in Nazareth. It might have been economics, that there was no place for him to work in Bethlehem. He did have some relatives up in Nazareth. But again, Joseph was from the family of David, and they were from Bethlehem. And so they had to come back to Bethlehem for the census, because that's where their family was from. But then we don't know how long Jesus stayed in Bethlehem. Here it says that Herod had killed all the babies 2 years of age and younger that he had discerned from the wise men. So it could be that Joseph was setting up shop in Bethlehem, that they planned to go ahead and stay in Bethlehem because that's where the bulk of their family was. That was their original town that they had lived. And so in order to fulfill the prophecies, or why this prophecy was fulfilled, Matthew again tells this story. And so we see God's guiding hand through all of this. That God had a plan. He had a mission. He had a job for his son Jesus. He had a plan of salvation for humanity. Some other reasons why, or what's going on in this story of why Matthew wrote this story, is just that points out several things here. One is how ruthless, how mean, how terrifying people can be to one another. Of what power can do to a ruler. Of what greed can happen. You know, Herod was consumed that he was going to hang on to his power no matter what. He wasn't insecure. He even felt threatened by a newborn baby. And he wasn't going to allow that. And what he was willing to do, the lengths that he was willing to go to, just to protect his own power, is amazing. But that's what can happen to us. When we get so ingrained that we want, we need, we have to have, it doesn't matter that somebody else has it. It didn't matter that these children had life. He was willing to take it. What was so devastating also about this story then is there's a portion of the Hebrew people, part of the Jewish community, that did not believe in individual resurrection. The Sadducees, those who followed the Sadducees, the teachings of the Sadducees, believed that individuals were not saved or raised up, but that salvation came through your family. Salvation came through the extension of your family. The future generations that came down was the salvation of Israel. That this people of God would continue on. And that was the salvation for them. And so this slaughter, not only of killing just the babies, and just that alone is enough. If you stop and think about it, I know I became a grandfather this year. And to hold that baby and to love that baby is absolutely amazing. We had a baptism this morning. Once again, we see the small children. We see the children up here for children's sermons. And how devastating that is when a parent loses a child. Or a grandparent loses a child. Or any child within a family that leaves. It's just devastating for the whole family. For the Hebrew people who followed the Sadducees, it was even more devastating because this says that their salvation, this part of their salvation has been wiped out. Just how cruel can people be just how ruthless can a ruler be? It's devastating, absolutely devastating. Tears everybody up. So Matthew points that out. And if you contrast then this ruthlessness, this insecurity, this greed, this jealousy of Herod compared to this newborn baby. And we see a completely different, we see a full contrast here of Christ who grows up to be Christ the King, who is the King of Kings, and completely different that Jesus is not cruel. He is not ruthless, but rather he is full of love. He came to save his people. He came to raise them up. He came to heal them, not to slaughter them. That contrast between the two kings. Christ the King, and then also Herod the King. A completely different contrast to what's going on here on this earth. Another thing that's going on here then is to point out the similarities between one of the greatest heroes in the Old Testament and also this Christ child. There's a number of ties here to Moses. Moses was seen as the savior of the Hebrew people because it was Moses who was able to lead all the slaves in Egypt out and lead them to the promised land. Moses is seen as a savior of the Hebrew people, of what he was able to do by the guiding hand of God. Jesus, as we know, is the Savior of the world. He is the one who saves us, who leads us out of the bondage of sin into the freedom of God's kingdom. Also, another similarity here is that when Moses was born, again, we had a ruthless leader, Pharaoh, who was willing to kill all the Hebrew babies who were 2 years old and younger. And again, Moses too was able to escape because of his parents. That they, if y'all remember this story, they took Moses and put him in a basket and then floated him among the reeds in the River Nile to save him, to hide him from Pharaoh's soldiers. Jesus' family took him and they fled to Egypt to save Jesus from the ruthless Roman soldiers. So we see the ties between the two, between the, one of the greatest heroes of the Old Testament and with Jesus, both of them who are saviors of their people. One of the main things I think that Matthew writes in this gospel lesson, one of the main things that this story also shows, and that it shows then throughout Matthew's gospel, is that Jesus is truly God, but it also shows that Jesus is truly human. Because he had to undergo all the things that we undergo. All the sorrow, the pain, the tragedy. Here he and his family had to flee, otherwise he would have been killed at this stage. And God's plan of salvation would not have been fulfilled in this way. He was susceptible to being hungry. He was hungry. At times he was tired. At times he was thirsty. If you remember the story of the temptation, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights out in the wilderness, and it says he was famished. Jesus felt the same things that we felt. He was able to love. I'm sure he loved Joseph, his earthly father. He loved Mary. And to see, he loved his disciples. He hung out with them for a good 3 years. He was with them day in and day out. There was a lot of love for his disciples and for his other followers. There's the story of Lazarus that says that he loved his friend Lazarus. He was able to love. He had those emotions. He was able to make those connections, just like we have connections with each other. But then there was also the sorrows. I'm sure he was sorrowful when his earthly father Joseph died. At the story of Lazarus, it says that Jesus wept. He cried. And he also felt pain as well then, too. There was a... there was a heresy at the time of the early church. And whether it was already happening here and now, when Matthew wrote this gospel, I'm not sure, but it was called Docetism. Docetism says that Jesus is truly God, but he is not human. That he just appeared to be human. And so I think Matthew writes this to dispel that heresy as well then too, to show that Jesus truly is human, that he is susceptible to the pressures of this world. He is susceptible to the hunger, the thirst, the pain, but also susceptible to the joy, the love, the laughter, and everything else that happens in our lives. Jesus came to this earth to save us. Jesus is that plan of salvation that God, the Heavenly Father, sends his Son into this world to be susceptible to everything that we are susceptible to relate to us. Jesus knows what's going on in our lives. He knows because he has lived a life here on this earth. It's not like a ruler looking down has no clue what's going on in the world, has no clue how people live because they're living in a palace or living in a mansion. They have no clue. But yet Jesus does because he lived. He worked as a carpenter. He grew up and he followed the call of God. He was obedient to the will of his Father. He went to the cross, suffered much, he died, and he rose again. This Christ, this baby that we celebrate during this Christmas time is our Savior, and we follow him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.